Many years ago, the captain of a large English ship was caught in a storm in the Mediterranean Sea near Turkey. There was no harbor nearby, so he let down the anchor, but the wind blew so fiercely that it began to drag the anchor. The anchor couldn't get a grip on the sandy seabed, and so the ship began to drift. Another anchor was let down, but it also wouldn't take hold, and the ship was drifting nearer and nearer the shore, and soon would be stranded. There was only one little anchor left, and the captain felt sure that it wouldn't be of any use. But it was let down, and to his surprise, the chain tightened. Soon the ship was held fast, and by the help of the little anchor, it rode out the storm. When the time came to lift the anchors, the big ones came up easily because they hadn't caught on the seabed. But the little anchor refused to come up. Finally, once it broke water, they realized why. The little anchor had caught in the ring of the anchor of a great battleship that had been lost there years before. And that's why the little anchor held so firmly. How big your anchor is not nearly as important as what your anchor is anchored to. The first verse of a song we sometimes sing asks, "Will your anchor hold in the storms of life, when the clouds unfold their wings of strife? When the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain?" The answer to those questions is, it depends on what your anchor grabs onto. It depends on what your anchor fastens onto. The chorus of the song addresses that. It says, "We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock, which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love." The psalm addresses your anchor holding. It talks about having an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure. It talks about being fastened or anchored to a rock. And it talks about being grounded firm and deep. Holding. Steadfast and sure, fastened and grounded. All of these speak of something that's lasting. They speak of endurance. They speak of faithfulness. Faithfulness is a characteristic of God. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 3 says, "The Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one." 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9 says, "God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." The word faithful is not in the next verse, but the idea is certainly there. Philippians 1 verse 6 says, "We are confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Numbers 23 verse 19 says, "God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. He has said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it?" Psalm 86, verse 15 says, "But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness." Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23 says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Regardless of how fickle and faithless man sometimes is, God remains faithful. Synonyms for faithful are loyal, constant, steadfast, unwavering, dependable, reliable, enduring. As I mentioned earlier, faithfulness carries with it the idea of endurance. And there are a lot of things in Scripture about the enduring nature of God. For example, we are told that God is from everlasting to everlasting. Psalm 90 verse 2 says, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or before you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." Deuteronomy 33 verse 27 says, "The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. God's very nature is the epitome of endurance. God's very nature is that of faithfulness, of lasting without change. Many people come to Christ with false concepts and false expectations about themselves and about God. They come seeking shelter, and instead they find themselves in the middle of a battlefield, a battle within themselves. They come to escape the troubles of their world, and instead they find they are troubled on every side. Often you're not aware of your troubles until you start trying to clean them up. They come running from the temptations that haunt them, and sometimes find that there are more temptations than they were even aware of. They never bargained for a fiery furnace. They never bargained for a personal cross to bear. They never bargained for painstaking trials, deep-seated sorrows, or unceasing temptations. We must realize that God examines our love and loyalty in the midst of problems, persecutions, and pressures. We must realize that God tests our courage and faith in the midst of defeat, despair, and difficulties. We must realize that God studies our character and our commitment through trouble, trials, and turmoil. Yes, we will continue to face temptation, but James assures us, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Though we are afflicted, we are blessed, because the Christian knows how to suffer through affliction. Persistence, faithfulness, endurance. These are addressed in the parable of the persistent widow, Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Starting in verse 1, it says, Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Jesus said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Jesus is telling us to never quit, to never give up. There's a promise here, a promise for God's people, a promise that God will respond to those who never quit seeking him, to those who never give up on petitioning him. In Psalm 37, verse 5, David said, "Commit your way to the Lord. Put your trust in him, and he will bring it to pass." By all logic, this widow had no reason to hope that this judge would ever respond to her pleas. When we think of coming before a judge, we naturally think of a courtroom in an ornate building. But this courtroom would have been in a tent that was moved from place to place as the judge covered his circuit. It was the judge, not the law, that set the agenda. And he sat regally in the tent, surrounded by his assistants. Anyone could watch the proceedings from the outside, but only those who were approved and accepted could have their cases tried. This usually meant bribing one of the assistants so that he would call the judge's attention to the case. The widow had three obstacles to overcome. First, she was a woman, so she had little standing before the law. Second, in the Palestinian society of Jesus' day, women did not go to court, and since she was a widow, she had no husband to stand with her in the court. Third, she was poor, and she could not pay a bribe even if she wanted to. Now, try imagining how hopeless this widow would have felt. Yet she continued. Try imagining the frustration this widow would have felt. Yet she did not give up. And as a result of her persistence, as a result of her tenacity, her determination to endure, even this merciless, unjust judge, this man who had no regard for anyone but himself, was compelled to grant her her wishes because she would not give up, because she refused to quit. The unjust judge only reluctantly answered the woman's request. But Jesus did not give this parable to say that God was like the unjust judge. Jesus told this parable to say that God is not like the unjust judge. The woman had to overcome the judge's reluctance to help. Jesus did not say that men always ought to pray and not lose heart because God is reluctant to help, but because he is not reluctant to help his own. And that is our encouragement to pray. Sometimes it seems to us that God is reluctant to answer our prayers. But when there are delays in prayer, it is not because they are needed to change God. Those delays are needed to change us. Persistence in prayer brings a transforming element into our lives. It builds into us the character of God Himself. It is the way that God builds into us a heart that cares about things the same way He does. There are several contrasts between this judge in Luke 18 and the God who hears prayer. The judge was unfair, but God is fair. The judge had no personal interest in the widow, but God loves and cares for those who petition Him. The judge answered the widow's cry only out of self-interest, pure self-interest. But God loves to bless His people for their good. God's delays are not necessarily His denials. Let me say that again. God's delays are not necessarily His denials. Our God is a faithful and righteous judge. We come to a judge with perfect character. We come to a judge who loves to care for His children. We come to a judge who is kind and gracious. We come to a judge who knows us personally. We come to this judge with an advocate, a friend, who is close to us and close to the judge, and He pleads our case before the judge. We come to the judge with promises that encourage us. We come to the judge with the right of constant access, and we come to a judge who has a personal interest in our case because we are His children. God is faithful. He never quits loving us, and He is there for us even when we make a mess of things, even when we feel like failures, even when we are convinced that no one could love us with all our baggage. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man, but God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." 1 John 1, verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And so, the only way to lose is to give up. The only way to lose is to quit. As God's people, we are concerned about doing right. But we can sometimes get so caught up in the idea of doing what is right that a mistake, a flaw, a failure becomes overwhelming. There are some people who can't see their own flaws. Well, that's self-righteousness and hypocrisy, but most of God's people wrestle with being too hard on themselves. We can be guilty of magnifying our failures. To be certain, sin is a terrible thing. Sin separates from God, but there is something more powerful than sin, and that's the love, the mercy, and the grace of God. And so, the terrible thing about this attitude towards failure is that it ignores the most fundamental and most important message of the gospel of Christ. It ignores grace. It ignores mercy. It ignores forgiveness. It is not the sinlessly perfect who will make it to heaven. There are none. It is the forgiven. It is not on the basis of attaining some position in the church that someone will make it to heaven. It is on the basis of having been forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. It is the ones who get up time and time again. It is the ones who persist in spite of their flaws. It is those who realize fully what a failure they are without God. It is those who fully realize how foolish they have been without God. It is those who realize fully that they have no hope without God. It is those who realize their need for and their dependence upon God's mercy, His forgiveness, and His grace. We may want to serve the Lord, but if we cannot see the blood of Christ through our failures, we may find it virtually impossible to continue to endure. Do you ever feel like giving up? Do you ever feel like you've messed up so many times there's no hope? 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 through chapter 2 and verse 2 says, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar and His word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58 says, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Someone has said, "Winners are not those who never fail. Winners are those who never quit." We sometimes sing the song, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." It goes, "Great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be." Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. The Hebrew writer said in chapter 10, verse 23, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful." In Psalm 136, verses 1 and following, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who alone does great wonders, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who by understanding made the heavens, for His steadfast love endures forever." Again, the Hebrew writer said, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful."